So when we give to him, or we help our neighbor, or we help a widow, or whatever, I'm telling you, don't forget about the harvest. It'll be a blessing to you. Amen. And it'll get you out of debt. And he'll start blessing your finances the way you need it to be blessed in Jesus' name. So in this bucket and in that bucket, with a big old shout of praise, I want you to come give to the Lord. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Well, well, well. Thank you, Lord. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. Yeah, a couple of years ago, these kids started coming up here, and people started handing them to them. It's amazing. It's kind of teaching them how to give. And then she was like, hey, you should have handed that to me. High five. Good job, girls. Bye. Funny. Thank you, Lord. Hey, boy. Like that mustache. I wish I could grow one. Vin Fish, all he's got to do is just not shave one day, and he's got a full beard like Duck Dynasty. I don't know. Praise the Lord. With a big round of applause, let's dismiss Kids Church. Youth to stay in here. Kids Church out there. Come on, y'all, give it to them. Kids about 11 and under, head on out. You'll have a blast. Thank you, Lord. I want to welcome everybody that's watching live right now. It's an honor to have you. Really appreciate all the people all across the country. Once we went live, how you're able to just be a part. I see a lot of your, your communication to us in different areas of just watching and what these messages mean to you. A lot of you have been born again, and it's an honor that if you can't be here or if you live anywhere across the country, that you can watch. And I really appreciate it. I want you to spread the word that whoever wants to watch can go to wccowboychurch.org, and you can watch these services live on Sunday morning. And so, again, thank you so much for watching, and remember that tell someone about it, but write us and let us know how much of a blessing it is to us or it is to you. But always remember, it's a growing thing. I know one day we'll have 3 or 4 cameras in here, but right now it's what it is. But it's a pleasure to have you. It's also a pleasure to have all you that are here live. And I always figure the Bible says don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together. We didn't start that live broadcast because we want people to stay home and not go to church. I think that's a very dangerous thing to do. Don't be one that just watches church on TV. It's not saying it's bad when you can't go to church, but there's something about being around the anointing, that corporate anointing, especially when you're sick and you're hurting and someone can come lay hands on you, and as the Bible says in Mark chapter 16. There's something about being around the anointing of God when you're hurting and you just need someone to uplift you, and you can't get that at home. But the ones that can't make church, it's an honor to have you. I want to minister, a pretty quick message. It's 10:44, and let's see how fast I can do it. You ready? The title of this message for you guys that put it on the internet is Taking a Stand for Your Faith. And I just want to open it up and kind of set it up for you, because I think in today's world, it's important. And I want everybody to listen just for a short few minutes to this message, because it's time that we take a stand for our faith. In today's world, man, we need to take a stand more than any other time. I think we ought to start being what the Bible calls us as peculiar, different from the rest of the world. It's not that we don't live in the world. It's that we're not supposed to live of the world. I mean, we're going to be around a lot of things, but, and I mean, this, I was telling my Ricky, my fiddle player, that this is the first time I preached on this stage with spurs. Amen. So I'm going to come spur you if I need to. But how many of you know the Bible calls us set apart? I mean, we're supposed to be different from the world. If the world can't tell that you're different, something might be wrong. It might be that we're being and acting a little bit too much like the world. And if it takes a little bold cowboy preacher to stand up here and declare to the uttermost parts of the world that we're to be different and we're to be set apart and we're to stand out from the crowd, then that's what we need to do. I think the reason that God's using the Western world in these last days, and I got to tell you, I still believe to this day, after hearing it from when I was a little kid, that we're in the last days. If you would just pick up this Bible and begin to read it, you'll find some great things, prophetic things that are coming to pass today. Scientists have been trying to disprove this word for years and years, and for some reason, the prophecies of Isaiah continue to come to pass in front of our eyes if you had just watched the news. Now, I realize the news is probably pretty, you know, negative and things like that, but the reason I do watch it and listen to it at times, probably more than I should according to my wife, is that I want to see kind of what's going on. I want to see when another country comes, you know, out and against us. What does the Bible say about, you know, some of these countries over there, Saudi Arabia and how about even North Korea and so on? Why is things happening in the world? And I'm not preaching an end time message this morning, but I am preaching in a way that would cause us to rise our faith up so that we would literally take a stand for our faith. What is your faith, though? What is it? I mean, people that are watching, what is your faith? Well, obviously, you and I, being in this particular place, are here in the name of Jesus. So our faith is Jesus Christ, which, according to this word, is this word. Jesus is this Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelations. And I just think it's important this morning that maybe we begin to acknowledge that it's time that we take a stand for our faith. If you're a saved person and Jesus is the Lord of your life, then the Bible says that you have been moved apart from the rest of the world. Matter of fact, when you give your life to Jesus, the Bible says old things, the way you used to act before Christ, are passed away, and behold, all things become new. New how? Well, new according to this Bible. And I'm not saying, you guys, that we won't make mistakes. I'm just saying that what's wrong with us taking a stand wherever we're at for the Lord Jesus Christ? There's a lot of examples of persecution and discrimination today. I was reminded of some of them just this week, like how the IRS targeted the Billy Graham Association one day. I was reminded the persecution that some California Christians who were found, thank God, not guilty for reading their Bible just near the government offices. I mean, think about that. You're getting sued for sitting on a bench by a government office reading your Bible. And they had to go to court for that. I noticed that in California, a baker faced a year in jail for refusing to make a cake for a gay wedding. I mean, I went to the Capitol and I helped get a bill passed in Texas. I spoke to the Senate just to have a pastor protection bill, just to be able to stand up here. Not that we're against people, but we're just for the Bible. Amen. I mean, today things that are wrong back in great grandmama's day are now right. And what was right in great-grandmama's day are now wrong. Everything's backwards. Why? Well, because it's the end times. And finally, we need someone that will actually preach this Bible, not their opinion, their Bible, and declare the things. I was reminded of government force in churches nowadays, and this is today's world. They have to get a permit to do baptisms in some towns. A Florida professor demands students to stomp on Jesus. I was reading the story, and it was just say, hey, you know, write down Jesus is Lord if that's what you think. And they did, some of them. And then she said, now put it on the floor. They didn't know what he was doing. And then she said, now stomp on it, because that's really what you should do. The persecution that college kids are getting today. I wouldn't recommend my kids going to college, to be real honest. Now, don't tell that to mama, because they're going, and I know it. But I know some good kids that's really got messed up in college. I knew a pastor's daughter that went to college for 4 years and came back an atheist. She said, no, I just don't believe in God anymore. The other day, I was at a minister's conference, and I was preaching to a whole lot of ministers. And I was at this Starbucks with just some of the ministers, and some of the other ones were coming out, and they were talking to a man that was leaving. And I noticed he was laughing at this couple, and I didn't know what was going on. And they came in there with, wow, I can't believe that. And I said, well, what happened? And they begin to tell me that this man, educated man from Texas A&M, was persecuting them for their faith because they just dared to, you know, be happy and joyful. And they begin to talk to him, and he began to declare things like, well, if you went to A&M, because this couple also was graduates of Texas A&M, if you went to A&M, didn't they make you agnostic, which doesn't mean anything? And they were like, no, no. And they really didn't know what to say. But later on, I was thinking about it. And it doesn't make much sense to be atheist or agnostic, because that means that you have to believe that nothing created something. It don't make much sense to this 3 years in junior college educated man. You are telling me that you believe that nothing really created something, you see. Persecution is happening all over. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, just real fast, please. Romans, if you have a Bible, chapter 1. Because the Apostle Paul faced a lot of hostilities, a lot of hostile reactions to the gospel. And in what we're fixing to read here in Romans, he was being persecuted in both a pagan way and from the Jewish worlds. He was poked fun of. He was physically abused. I remember when he wrote the book of Philippians, when God inspired him to write Philippians, he wrote about joy 19 times in the book of Philippians, but you know where he was? In prison. He was in a prison called Mamertine Prison in ancient Rome. That's where they dropped you in from the ceiling in a dark room, because for him, he just declared that Jesus was the Son of God. This room was a bad place. If you ever study it out, in that imperial palace, that river ran through it. But in the bottom basements of all that palace is where all the sewage went. When the tide came up, that river would wash all the sewage out and kind of clean it. Well, this is where they put the prisoners down there in the bottom. They chained them with their arms up because they had nowhere to sit. So those prisoners would begin to rot where those chains were, those clamps were going into their skin. It was so dark you couldn't see anything. You could just hear the agony of other prisoners. And here the Apostle Paul is in this place, and where he was inspired to write about joy. Gosh, think about that. Joy. You see, he was persecuted. Like Jesus, he took that beating of a cat of nine tails 39 times. Twice. Now, I'm not comparing him to Jesus by no means, because he's far from Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, he was persecuted, and he declared some things in verse 16. Check it out. Here's what he said. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Man, think about that, y'all. I am not ashamed. Right in the midst of persecution, tribulation, man, he's declaring, oh, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I just want to declare to everybody that is here and that is watching that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. I am not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed to rope and pray. I'm not ashamed to be out there and with a lot of y'all and declare how good God is to me. Not saying I don't make mistakes. I make a bunch of them. But thank God for the mercy and the grace that Jesus Christ died for. And here the Apostle Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, it moved me when I read just that one scripture in Romans. So I begin to study it out. Because when the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I looked up that word ashamed in the Greek, and it's literally translated, no reason to be embarrassed. Man, don't you be embarrassed about our God. Because one day you're going to stand before him. The Bible calls it the great judgment day. You're not going to have your friends. You're not going to have your family standing with you. One day you're going to be standing before God Almighty. Thank God Jesus is going to be beside him with this book called the Book of Life. But when you stand beside him, man, you don't have time to receive Jesus then. You don't have time to be ashamed of him then. You don't have time to allow yourself to digress back to the day of Babylon, which just simply means the days before you gave your life to Jesus. No, it's time today to take a stand. Not then, today. Amen. And that's what he was doing. He's taking a stand, man. You see, he said, I'm not ashamed. I am not embarrassed. That ashamed translation literally means no reason to feel awkward, self-conscious, or humiliated. And then he goes on to say, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. You notice it didn't say, it's the power of God and I'm going to make you believe. No, he just said, for you that believes. I mean, in Deuteronomy, the Bible says, I set before you life. I set before you death. I set before you blessing. I set before you cursing. He said, it's up to you to choose life and blessing. And then he helps us and he says, so that thy and thy seed, your kids and their kids and their kids and their kids will prosper. You see, there's something about standing up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this word power is pretty interesting. Because it's a Greek word called dunamis. I'll tell you about dunamis power. It's the very same power. This dunamis power that lives on the inside of all of us Christians. The very same dunamis power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you if you're born again. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you have that dunamis power. Not Batman power, not Superman power. I'm talking dunamis power to be a witness for Jesus Christ. To be able to stand boldly and say, you know what? I'm not ashamed to go pray over the loudspeaker. Thank God for rodeo, y'all, right? The last sport that will stand up at the national finals and pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because here's the persecution that's happening today is they're taking God out. Matter of fact, our last president declared that we were no longer a Christian nation. Ha ha, yo mama. We We were founded on Christianity, and we're going to stay that way in Jesus' name. God help us if we don't.
Amen.
That word dunamis, power, denotes the strength of a whole army. In other words, when the Apostle Paul was inspired by God to say these things, he was saying, when faith is mixed with gospel and it's declared, it releases divine energy equal to the fighting forces of an entire army. You see, that's the dunamis power that we need today, especially when the persecution comes out there. I'm not saying there won't be persecution, but what are we afraid of? Why can't we boldly say Jesus is our Lord to the uttermost parts of the world? Why are we so ashamed of being persecuted? No. In Matthew's gospel, about chapter 5, says blessed are the, this is the Beatitudes. You ought to read it. It's cool. There's several blessed Beatitudes in there. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You see, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and I pray to God you aren't. We have mixed, though, the world with Christianity so long that we just feel like things are okay. You know, we do this and we do that. The world calls it right, but I'm here to tell you, God still calls it wrong. And it's going to take us to be bold enough in these last days to stand apart. So all God is saying this morning and through the Apostle Paul is, take a stand for your faith. Don't be ashamed, please. I'm not saying you have to know the whole Bible. I'm not saying you have to stand up and preach. No. Only some are called to do that according to Ephesians chapter 4. But I am saying it's time to take a stand for our faith in these days. You know, why wouldn't we have a heart to try to get some of our family saved? We don't want them to go to hell. And really, if your heart's right, you don't want that person who stabbed you in the back to go to hell either. Oh, man, how easy it is to, no, let's just let them go. Yeah, they not good. But really, God, when he created us and he made us in the image of him, in his likeness, no, he said, no, don't have that attitude. I want you to have an attitude of trying to win them over for Jesus Christ. See, gosh, man, just taking a stand for Jesus Christ. So when we're persecuted for our stand with God, I think we are to be reminded of, number one, the power that lives on the inside of us to never be ashamed of the gospel. Never. Be ashamed of our God, because he's worthy of praise. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the El Shaddai to all of us that believe. Say that with me, El Shaddai. He is a awesome, awesome God. That's what I call him. Because there's times when I need El Shaddai. I don't have my dad here anymore. Golly, I miss him. I remember when Seth was learning how to catch a baseball. And you know how little kids, they want to catch above their waist like this, and then that baseball hits them in the head or whatever. Because they're, you know, they can catch it here, but then they don't know. And so I called my friend in high school, Brandon Barrow, and he said, oh, man, I got this cool deal. He said, teach them to catch like a windshield wiper this way. He says, so when it's down, you're here. This is wisdom, right? But when it's up, it's over here. I mean, no matter what. Well, that changed everything. But I couldn't call my dad because he's already in heaven and say, hey, I mean, how'd I get Seth to throw it right? I mean, I want him throwing it overhanded at his target. I didn't have my dad, but man, I got God. I got my Father in heaven, thank God, or I got a lot of friends, but if they're not around, I need his wisdom. I mean, I need wisdom on what to know, how to respond to my daughter who just got her license at 16. And I'll just be honest with you, y'all. Jamie came home and she said, "You won't believe this, but we put London on the insurance." Now don't, hey, what was our insurance before? Just, I mean, honestly.
I really don't know.
Like.
Less than 10,000. Like.
No, let's go lower than that.
I don't know.
Because this would be a better story. 4,000?
Maybe. I don't know what it was.
You should know.
I know.
We put her on the insurance and they sent us a deal, $23,000 increased. Because of that woman right there.
How much?
$23,000, Charlie.
Man.
You need to take a salary.
Thanks, y'all. Y'all done it. I believe I'd be shocked at that.
Celie said we should take a salary at church now. I'm thinking I'm agreeing with that, brother. And all you with younger kids, you're like, oh, my God, really? No, Shay's been through it, and all you, the rest of you, no. Putting those kids on, oh my Lord. Listen to me, I need wisdom, right? What about boyfriends? Man, you boys are crazy. Settle down, we're in a service. You can't just speak out loud just because. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not ashamed to go to him and say, "Sir, I need some advice." I remember last year, gosh, dog, son of a gun. That reminds me of a story. Me and a friend of mine, Trey Johnson, was doing a service in Plainview. And there was, man, a lot of people got saved. And we get this call from the editor of the newspaper and said that someone was at your service. And the minister, it wasn't me, it was Trey, during his service used the word dadgummit when he was preaching. And this guy sends a letter to the paper and saying, "You know, that little preacher used the word dadgummit in that service, and that really sounds like he said dog one a Babylonian god. And he's trying to preach about a Babylonian god." And so he said, "So I'm going to follow these two little kids around." College kids around or whatever. And anyway, he signs it the speech police just because he used it. That cowboy church, what you just, I mean, why don't you just be real? I always say when you talk to God, just talk to him like you normally talk. Just leave out the cuss words. Amen? You don't have to change your voice and use King James vernacular, these, thous, and thuses when you talk to God. No, just say, "God, I need you. I need some help, sir. I am not ashamed of the gospel." Why don't we say that together? I am not ashamed of the gospel. If you're not saved, though, you can't say that. So this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. If Jesus is not your Lord, and I'm talking about if you stood before him, and one day you will. You will, according to this Bible, and I believe it. You're going to stand before him. What is he going to say? I want him to say, and this is my heart. That's why I still travel so much. That's why, as y'all know, I'm away from this church for, you know, a lot of the months in the summer, especially just being able to be with, you know, kind of take a sabbatical and rope and do something that I love. But when I'm there, you know, I'm ministering. I want to tell people about Jesus. I'm relaxing and resting and those kind of things, but I want to tell them about Jesus. I mean, if there's an opportunity, I'm jumping in. If they say do a service at Deadwood or somewhere, you got it, let's do it. If they say, some of my friends, we travel and we might do church going down the road, that's fine with me, man, come on. Because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I just declare that when you stand before God, I want him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't want him to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. No, I want him to say, now come on in. The rest, the joy of the Lord heaven. But he'll only say it because of one thing. You declaring and confessing, this is Romans 10 and 9, that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead and you believe it. So the question this morning, is Jesus Lord in your life? Is he your Savior? Man, I hope he is. But I would never leave a service without giving him or giving you an opportunity to receive him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. I've already asked you the question, is Jesus your Lord or not? If you stood before God, what would he say? When you die, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Because there's two places. There's a place called heaven. There's a place called hell. But here's the deal, is you can have heaven here. You don't have to wait for heaven, for peace and joy. It's there already. We need it desperately here, you see. Is Jesus your Lord? Because if he's not, you can make him Lord right now. And all it is, it's in this Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Here's what it says. This is the King James Version. I like it, but I've got the Amplified beside it. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, it means you got to say something, the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt, say it with me, be saved. I like the Amplified because it goes on to say, because you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe and adhere to and trust in and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what we're going to do this morning, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, it doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic. It doesn't matter if you're Baptist, you're Pentecostal, you're Presbyterian, you're Methodist, Church of Christ, anything in between. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus. By the way, that's John chapter 14. He's the way, the truth, the life. The only way to get to the Father in heaven is by him, Jesus. Now, he's declaring it, of course. Man. So my heart is I want to see people give their hearts to him. Not that you'll immediately be perfect, holier than thou. No, we don't live that way, y'all. Thank God that people don't run from me in professional rodeo. I don't want that reputation. Uh-oh, here he comes. He's going to beat us over the head with the Bible, preach at us. I've never been that way. I want people coming to me and not running away from me. Amen? But I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Is Jesus your Lord or is he not? If he is, thank God. Man, start learning about him. Who you are in Christ Jesus. If he's not, pray this prayer. So if you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to pray a prayer. We're going to bow our head and close our eyes in just a second. If Jesus is not your Lord, then I want you to make Jesus your Lord. I can't make you. I just can present it to you. I want you to. Jesus said, I'll beg you. I beg you to give your life to me. Jesus Christ. But I'm also going to ask all you believers, you know you're saved. Maybe you've made mistakes, who hadn't? But if you're born again, Jesus is your Lord. Thank God for that. I want you to pray this prayer as well, though. And you're going to pray it with someone beside you, in front of you, behind you. We're going to pray it with people that may be praying and asking Jesus into their heart for the first time. Amen? Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please? And again, if you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you're watching and you want to receive Jesus as Lord, please, please do that by praying this prayer. And believers, would you just pray this prayer out loud with us? And out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that you've been raised from the dead. Thank you for saving me and writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when I come to heaven, I'm going to serve you. But while I'm living here, I'm going to serve you because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm going to ask you where you're sitting or where you're watching. If you just gave Jesus your life, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up. All you're doing by raising your hand up is you're declaring to the Lord, God Almighty, that you prayed that prayer and you meant it. Really what you're doing is you're confessing it before a man, before a woman. The Bible says if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says I'll confess you before the Father. In other words, don't be ashamed. Never be ashamed that Jesus is your Lord. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it, when I say three, I want you to raise your hand straight up and then just put it right back down with every bit of boldness in Jesus' name. We're not ashamed. Ready? One, two, three, go. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. I've got some guys that saw your hands, and they're going to give you a Bible. No one looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. If you don't get a Bible, just stick your hand up. I want to just give you a Bible. Don't be ashamed. Amen? Is there anybody else? If you haven't got a Bible, just raise it up. Put it right back down. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We got a few more. Thank you, Lord. Oh, to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. Sing that with me. Ready? I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, I surrender all. Why don't you give God a praise, would you? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's 10:17, ladies and gentlemen. Give me a round of applause, please. You're like, that's right, brother. You wasn't long-winded, finally. 11:17. What did I say? 10. I was from New Mexico, yeah. Okay, it's 11, still early, I mean. Hey, we're going to feed you fajitas. I don't know if they're ready. Does anybody in the back know they're ready? Oh, yeah. I want all the contestants to go first. Did y'all see all the auction items over there? Man, there's some cool things. I saw her harmonica that was signed by Clint Black. I want you to check them out because right at little before noon, we're going to auction them off because I know we got to get over there and get the permit section started. But, man, there's some cool things over there. All the money goes to help build that kids' church, as y'all know, and we need to get it built. Amen. We care for those kiddos. They're going to be putting up probably more tables in here, sit in these chairs, whatever. But we want to bless you guys with some fajitas. And, man, honored, and I mean it. And I hope you appreciate all these people raking the box for you every time you go in that box. I mean, just the blessing that they are, have a lot of help. And, man, I appreciate it. The rodeo, I'm telling you, has been the biggest of any year in a long, long time. To the glory of God. And just, golly, we just very, very honored. Rick, would you stand up?